Okay, Frank, let me start things off with prayer, and then I'll explain where I am, in case anybody's wondering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a new day. Thank you for allowing us to get together on this program each morning. Father, please help us to remember your presence wherever we go today. Help us to remember that you are with us at all times. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the gift of your Catholic Church. We ask you to help us with the problems that we are facing today, especially the ones that almost seem hopeless. We give them to you because we know that you can handle them. We know that you know what's best, and we know that you love us. Father, we ask that you speak through us on the program today and open all of our minds to hear the message that you have for us. And we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, welcome to Spirit in the Morning. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm coming to you, believe it or not, from my home today, because during the program, actually Frank's going to close out the program, I have to head to the airport because I'm speaking in Cleveland tonight. I'll be doing the show from Cleveland remotely tomorrow, and then I'll be back in the studio on Friday. Before I turn it over to you and we have a little discussion about some things, I just want to talk about who will be on the program today. We're going to be joined shortly by our friend Tony Agnese. Tony Agnese is a storyteller, he's a blogger, and he's going to be talking about something that is a concern to many, many of our listeners. What do you do when your children leave the faith? And this is a spot-on topic that I know many, many people are concerned with. We're also going to be visited by Ann Costa, who has written a book, Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. This is really timely because Friday is the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and I think this is one of those devotions that, although most of us know about it, I think it's very much misunderstood. And in fact, as you're going to hear, Anne, when she started the book, didn't understand the devotion. There were questions that she had, and in the process, she really has learned a lot. And she's written a very, very good book about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So that's all coming up on the show. Frank, our friend Dave Parker is absent today.
You know, it's good. He's getting rested, getting that knee rested, so hopefully, you know, continue to get that better. And I think that's of the utmost importance at this point.
Yep, and Dave's a trooper. He doesn't want to take time off, but sometimes it's necessary. So I'm glad that he's listening to his doctor.
Exactly. Hopefully he does that more often and, you know, gets that knee back to 100%.
Now, you're in the studio by yourself today, Frank. How's it feel? You lonely?
It is very awkward. Looking around, you know, you walk in, nothing's, you know, going on. You just hear yourself, but it's also peaceful, too. So I think there's pros and cons. I do miss having both you here and joking around and, you know, being able to just have the experience that we have each day.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. And it is always different when we're doing the show from outside of the studio, especially when one of us is not in the studio. Hey, Frank, I wanted to touch on a little bit before I read the gospel about that topic that Tony Agnese is going to be discussing today, the idea of anxiety caused by children who no longer practice the faith. Frank, this is a big problem, and I hear this all the time from parents who are distraught about this idea. Like, what do I do? Is there anything I can do? And Tony's going to touch more on it, but I'm sure you've encountered people who are going through this problem.
Well, I think we all, and let's be honest, we've all gone through it at times, you know, and
right.
So I think, you know, it's easy to say, oh, it's there, they have this problem, but we all have this problem, you know, whether it be questioning our faith or, you know, just not, you know, having uncertainty in our lives and, you know, finding where God is for us. And so I think it's also recognizing that in each one of us. But it's kind of funny that you bring up the topic because my wife actually just sent me an article right before we started from one of her favorite Catholic websites, the Catholic Herald, and it was talking about teenagers and religion.
Hmm.
And, you know, one of the sub-headlines that it has, don't talk to teenagers about religion, just do some religion with them.
Hmm.
And I think that sub-headline alone kind of really starts to emphasize what a lot of it's about. You know, a lot of things within religion, it's about how do you live your life? How do you show your faith? If you, you know, sit there and the way you show your faith is, you know, kind of, you know, not through love and mercy, which is what a lot of the Catholic faith is about. It's what a lot of the teachings are about. What are people's perceiving of that? You know, their perception of faith might be very different because of your actions. And so how do you get them involved?
Yeah. And it all starts with your actions, because people are going to spot a phony a mile away. There's no doubt. You can't, you know, you can't just go through the motions and expect to bring people closer to the Lord. And especially your kids or your friends, anybody, your coworkers. But Frank, this is really interesting. I love the way the Holy Spirit puts this show together sometimes, because the gospel today touches on that very subject. So let's look at today's gospel. And again, it's a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, Jesus has some strong words for us. It's Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on street corners, so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance, so that they may appear to others to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you may not appear to others to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden, and your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The interesting thing about this gospel, this is the gospel that we hear on Ash Wednesday each year, and it's always, I find it always striking, that this gospel is all about, don't just go through the external actions when you're fasting. Don't appear to be fasting. And yet we hear this gospel on Ash Wednesday when we all have ashes on our forehead. Well, what could Jesus possibly be getting at here? And I think the key to understanding this is to realize that he's talking about our interior disposition. We've got, if we are practicing our faith, if we are saying that we follow the Lord and we are going through these external practices, whatever they may be, we better make sure that on the inside, we're doing them for the right reason. We're not going to Mass and getting ashes on our forehead and wearing medals or whatever to make ourselves look good before others. If we're doing that, then we're no better than the hypocrites. And the Pharisees were really good at doing that. We don't want to do that. What Jesus is saying is, if you're going to practice the externals of your faith, you better not be going through the motions. And unfortunately, some people look at a gospel like this, especially in today's society, and interpret this to mean, see, this is proof that faith should be private. You shouldn't bring your faith out into the world. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is, don't be a hypocrite. Don't go through the external motions without, on the inside, interiorly believing and doing things for the right reason. Definitely something that we've got to be careful about. And Frank, you know, it's a powerful message, and one that we all have to heed.
We have to remember it each and every day, and it's extraordinarily difficult. But one of the other two things is, you know, and you don't think about this that often, the word amen, and which was in there a number of times. You know, amen means, you know, So be it, or that is it. You know, that is the truth. And, you know, I was listening to someone talk about this yesterday, and it really struck me, and it struck me that you were saying it here. You know, we sometimes just say amen, not even thinking about the meaning, not even thinking about it, you know, when we're, you know, taking the Eucharist. It's all functional.
Yeah.
It's at the end of the prayer, I have to say this.
Right.
But there's meaning to it. and just there is there. So, you know, and here's our music coming through. But, you know, ultimately, I think there's a lot that you can get from this.
That's right. We all have to be careful. It's not just the hypocrites, the Pharisees. It's each one of us. Are we really believing our profession of faith? When we come back, Tony Agnese, we're going to talk about what to do if your children have lost their faith. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 21st. Today we celebrate Saint Aloysius Gonzaga. As a son of a princely family, Aloysius Gonzaga grew up in royal courts and army camps in and around Florence, Italy. His father envisioned a great military career for his son, but at age 7, the young boy experienced a profound spiritual awakening. By age 11, he was teaching catechism to poor children and fasting 3 days a week. After reading a book about Jesuit missionaries in India, Aloysius announced his desire to enter the Society of Jesus. It took 4 years for him to obtain permission from his father, who had more worldly dreams for his son. Finally, Aloysius was received into the Jesuit novitiate. He took to religious life quickly and even had to be reminded to eat more and to take recreation with the other students. In 1591, a plague struck Rome and the Jesuits opened a hospital. Because Aloysius nursed patients, washed them, and made their beds, he eventually caught the disease as well. Even after recovering, his fever persisted, and he could scarcely rise from his bed. Sensing that death was imminent, Aloysius maintained his great discipline of prayer. He died 3 months later at age 23. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and 3 nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit. Spirit. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Well, late one night she started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young. But Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are, and no matter what you've done, not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. He lost his job and all he had in the fall of 09. Now he feared the worst, that he would lose his children and his wife. So he drove down I'm not afraid to die. last time. He didn't know what he was looking for or even what he'd find. And the song he heard gave him hope and strength to carry on. And on that night, they found a miracle.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was I Need a Miracle by Third Day. My name is Gary Zimak, and I am coming to you from my home, today, actually. I'm on my way to Cleveland, Ohio, to speak tonight at a Catholic business group. But through the miracle of modern technology, we're able to get the show to you, even though I am not in the studio. Right now, your time is 7:19. We are joined by our good friend, regular guest of the program, Tony Agnese. He's a podcaster. He's a blogger. He's a storyteller. And he's with us today to talk about what – this is a very real problem. I'm so glad Tony's addressing this. What to do when my children have lost the faith. Tony, good morning, brother.
Good morning, Gary. Great to hear your voice again. Yeah, this is a problem that we don't talk about often. It's not discussed a lot. A lot of people are embarrassed by it. And it's not talked about very often from the pulpit as well. But you have faithful mm-hmm. Catholics, people who are in the pews every Sunday or every day for that matter. And somehow between their high school and college years, a lot of their kids have just stepped away from the faith. You know, there's this constant barrage of the social media and secular media and college professors and atheists who just kind of say we're old-fashioned and we're in conflict mm-hmm. with science and women's rights and gay rights, and the list goes on, and they step away from the faith. Oftentimes, grandchildren aren't baptized and so forth, and it really, really, really tears at the heart of the faithful. And I wanted to be able to offer, Gary, some news, some from Scripture that might help people as they do that, as they suffer with this and labor with this, in the hopes and prayers that their children will return to the faith.
Tony, it's a really important thing for you to do, because I was just having lunch with a friend the other day who said just this: my son doesn't believe in God anymore. What do I do? You know, because we all want to do something. So yeah. Let's hear some ideas, because we really.
Well, I'm going to give you some ideas, and some of these are from my own failures. So I just want people to know that I'm no expert. I've failed a lot, and the first is don't argue with them. I got into an argument one time with one of my sons that it pushed him further away. You know, I thought I was going to mm-hmm. dazzle him with my knowledge of the faith and so forth. I dazzled him, but he wasn't hearing it. So. That's not something that we need to do. The second thing that I found most helpful for me is to remain faithful myself. There's a couple of pieces mm-hmm. of Scripture that I think are fantastic. In Exodus 26, it says, "But bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments." And again in Sirach, Sirach 44:13, it says, "And for all times their progeny will endure. Their glory will be never blotted out." We need to remain faithful ourselves. We need to have our children see mom and dad and grandma and grandpa faithful, attending Mass. And there's just, you know, that question, Gary, you know, what is it that you have that makes you so different? And that's that faith. The third thing is prayer and sacrifice. You know, my wife's favorite saint is Saint Monica. And, you know, Saint Augustine, who one of the greatest Christian thinkers of all time in his younger days was a hedonist, and she prayed for years for him. And she prayed that someone else might come into his life that might bring him to the faith. You know, Gary, sometimes the least effective person to bring an adult child back to the faith is the parent. You know, you might have better success with my son, or I may have better success with your daughter than a parent. So pray that God brings someone besides you into their life that might help. And then we've got to know our faith. We've got to study and learn our faith, and we need to be able to present it in a way that we don't push people away. And so we need to love our adult children. We need to love them like crazy. Let them see the joy and happiness in our lives. Make them want to have what we have. In 1 Timothy 3:4, it says, "This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of faith." And so I think it's really important that we don't push them away, that we don't argue with them, that we remain faithful and we pray. And that's what the Bible says will get us and get our children back.
Tony, as you're speaking, I'm reflecting on something. And when I really think this is a control issue. When there are certain things in life, especially something like this, that are beyond our control. And many of us who like to be in charge, we don't do well with this. But what I'm thinking of is when we begin to panic if our children have left the faith, if for whatever reason they don't believe in God anymore, or they're not practicing. When we begin to panic, doesn't that say something about our own faith? You know, it maybe calls it to question my faith.
You know, it really does. That's a very, very, very good point, Gary. You know, I'm one of those types of people myself that likes to be in control, a control freak, right, we're called. And you know, we have to understand that these things are out of our hands. We must put these in God's hands. And if we have faith, if we have a strong faith, the Lord is going to put someone in their life. You know what, Gary? It may happen after I'm gone. It may happen when I least expect it. It may happen when the third grandchild is born. It may happen, completely without my intervention. I have to have faith. Right. And it does speak to whether or not our faith is strong, to believe that the Lord will do that, that the Lord does will everyone to be saved.
And that he can do that, because a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that he is all powerful and he can do all things. And when I'm panicking about anything, right? I mean, that's a certain weakness in on my side.
It really, really is. It reflects on us, ourselves, and the strength of our faith. And so that, I guess, that's the news to today. That's the message to get across: is remain faithful. Make them want what you have. Make them want the joy that you have in your life because of your belief in Jesus Christ.
And Tony, that really touches on the gospel message of today, where Jesus is talking about, make sure you just don't go through the motions. Don't go out and do the external practice. You gotta really be living this both interiorly and exteriorly.
Hey, yes, as I was listening to you read the gospel earlier this morning, that's the exact thought that came to my mind. You know, this has to be in our hearts, internal.
Yeah.
You know, we can go and do all sorts of things externally, and that's good, but that's really, it really is from within. We have to have that strong faith from within. Believe me, the Lord has it in his hands. He will handle it, just as he did with St. Augustine and just as St. Monica did. We must pray and have a strong faith that the Lord will see it through.
And when we pray, that's something we can do. And that, you know, a lot of times when I go out and speak about overcoming anxiety, I always emphasize, if you've got a problem in your life, the Lord wants you to do what you can. So if I have a child who doesn't practice the faith anymore, I have to ask myself, what can I do? Well, I can pray, I can fast. These are things that I can do. But instead, sometimes we focus on the things that are beyond our control, and that's where the anxiety really sets in.
Amen. Amen. That's exactly right.
So that's an important reminder, and I'm glad you pointed out the fact that prayer is important. And I was always told, if you're worried about your children, you need to remember that God loves your children more than you do. And that's something that many of us as parents, we forget. That God loves them. God wants them back. God is in control. And he really cares about them, and he's going to do everything in his power to get them back. Tony, we have about 2 minutes left, a little less than 2 minutes left in this segment. You've got a book coming out soon, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do. It's called A Storyteller's Guide to a Grace-Filled Life, and there are 200 stories, each with a scriptural basis and each with some questions to reflect on. It's kind of a book that you might have in a men's Bible study or a prayer group and use as a guide over the course of time. And it's one of those books you can read. Take it on the airplane, read a few stories, reflect on them, and come back to the book. So I'm really excited about it. It's due out in the fall, and can't wait to get it out there, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to some people.
Oh, I'm sure it will. And you're a blessing to us, brother. And I encourage anybody listening to follow you online at TonyAgnese.com. We're going to have that linked at SpiritInTheMorning.com. Tony, thanks again for joining us today.
You're welcome. I understand you're in my neighborhood here tonight. We'll be
in
prayer as you speak there.
All right. I appreciate that, my friend. God bless you. Tony Agnese.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Ann Costa, who will be talking to us about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Stay tuned.
I'm Jacob Popcheck with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The family of an American college student who died days after being released from North Korea in a coma says that the 22-year-old has, quote, completed his journey home. Relatives say Otto Warmber died yesterday. He was sentenced to 15 years in prison after being accused of trying to steal a propaganda banner. He arrived here in Ohio on June the 13th after being held for more than 17 months, and his family says it was told that he had been in a coma since soon after his sentencing. Germany's ambassador to China has called on authorities to end the confinement of a Catholic bishop, seen as evidence of the continued suppression of the church within the officially atheistic country. Ambassador Michael Klaus says Bishop Xiao Zhumin appears to be confined at home after having been forced to move to unknown locations four times in less than a year. Klaus said in a statement posted to the German embassy's website today that Xiao's, quote, full freedom of movement should be restored. And in a final piece of Catholic news, the Church marks World Refugee Day today, commemorating as they do so the strength and courage shown by millions of refugees the world around. Pope Francis himself this week welcomed a group of refugees who have been hosted by some of the 38 Roman parishes and religious communities who responded to a 2015 appeal that parishes should do their part by hosting those persons fleeing war and poverty. And joining the initiative, too, is the Jesuit Refugee Service, who this year joins forces with other faith-based organizations and releasing an ecumenical statement entitled Refugees, an Opportunity to Grow Together. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Jacob Popcheck.
St. Bede the Venerable is having the second annual Padre Pio Festival on June 23rd, 24th, and 25th in Holland, Pennsylvania. Enjoy amusements for the kids, craft vendors, great food, a variety of entertainment, special masses with blessings and holy relics. On Sunday, June 25th, Mass will be celebrated with Father Thomas Betts, followed by a neighborhood street procession and a 3 p.m. healing service. Visit PadrePioFestivalHollandPA.com to learn more.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Professional counselor Julia Hogan says that nothing can truly prepare you for the joys and hardships of becoming a mother for the first time. So in an article for Verily.com, she shared tips from a crossroads of women about lessons they've learned from motherhood. 1. Flexibility is the key to your sanity. Remember that it's easier to adapt your life around a baby than try to force a baby to adapt to you. 2. Be sure to have a community of moms you can rely on when you feel lonely or dealing with a toddler in the terrible twos. Finally, having a sense of humor is a saving grace. Instead of being grossed out about the latest mishap involving pooping or spitting up, try to find the funny in every situation. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I tend to be busier than I should be.
Was Every Good Thing by the Afters. My name is Gary Zimek, and you were listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, the time is 7:36. I'm coming to you from my home today because immediately after this interview, I'm going to head to the airport. I'm traveling to Cleveland, Ohio today to speak this evening. So Frank Eliason is going to close the program out. But right now, let's take a look at the weather forecast for the Delaware Valley. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, it's 72 degrees. Today, mostly sunny with a high near 87. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 68. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high near 89 degrees. This Friday is a very special day. It's the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I'm pleased right now to be joined by someone that I've wanted to get on the show for a long time, Ann Costa. She's the author of several books, including her latest, Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart, from Servant Books. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, Gary.
So good to finally have you on the show. We've spoken many times in the past, but now we get to speak on the air.
Yes, I'm very excited to be talking with you today.
And your book is it's excellent. I'm reading through it, and something that you mentioned in the introduction really struck me. You said the Sacred Heart of Jesus is one of the most recognizable devotions of our Catholic faith, yet one of the least understood. Talk about that a little, if you could.
Yes, I think it's true. Everybody is familiar with the image of Jesus, either holding his heart or having his heart revealed through his chest, but no one really understands the way in which that image can become a way of life for us as Catholics. And It used to be that every home had the image, and that's based on a promise that Jesus made through his apparitions to St. Margaret Mary back in the 1600s. So we're talking about a devotion that has been in the Catholic Church and a part of our faith for a very long time. And he appeared to St. Margaret Mary, a visitation nun, four times. And he outlaid this devotion because he said, you know, his heart was aching and it was hurting because people at that time were not, you know, they weren't giving him attention like he wanted to. And it was actually during a time that Jansenism as a heresy was really prevalent in the church, where people were afraid to approach God the Father. They weren't going to communion because they thought they were too evil to even approach Jesus in the Eucharist, and that really was breaking his heart. So this whole devotion is about Jesus revealing his heart to us day to day in our lives and through the promises and the practices of this devotion.
Do you think sometimes we forget that Jesus has a human heart and that he can be sad?
Yes, I do. And that's part of what the devotion is. It's the two elements are consecrating ourselves to Jesus and giving him our lives and our hearts through our daily acts and our vocation in life. And he promises in return to give us all the graces we need. And then the other part of the devotion is reparation, which is really making up for the ways in which our sins, which we don't like to talk about very much these days, really do hurt him and really do affect him in a way that maybe we don't really understand. But because he was human, he understands our struggles, so that we really, this devotion just inspires a heart-to-heart understanding and connection with Jesus and his heart.
Yeah, you mentioned not wanting to talk about sin. That is so true. Many of us don't want to dwell on the fact that, and I think if we would, we don't want to dwell on the fact that we do commit sins and that our sins do hurt the Lord, but I think if we would do that, if we would accept that fact and really think about it more, it would help us to avoid sinning, because we wouldn't want to hurt him.
That's right. It does. It really changes the focus to not really... It really isn't us, it's his grace and his heart and how much he loves us. And that was what he wanted to convey through this devotion. And as we practice the things that are in the book and the ways in which he's asked us to do that, the elements of the devotion, we do come to really understand how much we're loved by Jesus, and we don't want to hurt him.
I really enjoyed this book, Anne, because you go into a lot of detail here, and it's a detailed book, but it's a very easy read, and I'm not saying that it's not deep. It's got a lot of depth in this book, but it's very understandable, and I thank you for writing it, because there were many elements of the Sacred Heart devotion that I didn't understand, and I thought I knew about it, but there was so much in here that I learned in this book, Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart. You mention in the book, you talk about the topic of enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Could you briefly touch on that?
Yes, this is a pretty well-known and popular part of the devotion that was really something that happened a lot in the 40s and 50s, but it's coming back now, and it really is an opportunity for a family, even if you're a single person, to publicly say that their house belongs to Christ and that their lives belong to him. And they really establish his reign in their home by having a small ceremony where they actually put the image, the Sacred Heart image, as Jesus asked in the promises. He said that, I will bless places where in the image of my heart shall be exposed and honored. And so this ceremony allows you to put his image in your home, and then to begin to invite him more and more into your life, into your home and your family. And many of the promises are surrounded by this practice. There's a short little ceremony that you do. You usually invite friends or family there. You could have a priest or lay ambassadors of his heart can come and help you prepare. You usually have a procession through the home with the head of the family, and a prayerful ceremony that's really very simple but pretty profound. And then you go about inviting him every day. You know, you have his image there. He's in your home, and he establishes his presence in your life that way.
Can you briefly touch on the similarities and the differences between this devotion to the Sacred Heart and the Divine Mercy devotion? Because I think there are some similarities.
Well, there are a lot of similarities, yes. You know, the Divine Mercy devotion comes through St. Faustina in a similar way. Mm-hmm. Jesus revealed himself to her and wanted us to understand the aspect, you know, what we get from his heart, which is his unfathomable mercy. And, you know, his Sacred Heart is what we don't worship his heart, but we encounter him as the as Jesus. And the divine mercy is more about an attribute of the triune God. So we know that the first part of the devotion has to be understanding his heart and encountering his heart. We have to understand how much we need his mercy first, and that's where the reparation and the devotion to the Sacred Heart come in, and then we understand that we can go to him for his mercy. So really they're twin devotions that can be practiced and probably really should be practiced together.
Yes, and a great book, Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart of Jesus by Ann Costa, available from Servant Books. If any of our listeners want to pick up a copy of the book, maybe follow you online, learn about your other books, or possibly invite you out to speak, where's the best place to do that?
Well, they would want to go to my website. It's www.ann-costa.com. And then they can ask about, there's ways to get me to speak in all of my books. And I appreciate the opportunity to share about Jesus' heart with you today, Gary. It's a pleasure to do that.
Oh, thank you. And thank you. It's great catching up with you again. And I highly recommend, if you're listening out there, you want to learn more about the Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially due to the fact that the solemnity occurs this Friday, make sure you check out this book, Healing Promises, The Essential Guide to the Sacred Heart by Ann Costa from Servant Books. And thank you again for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thank you, Gary. God bless.
God bless you as well. Okay, we are going to head to a break in a few seconds. Frank Eliason's going to take you out. I'm going to be listening to the program on the way to the Philadelphia airport, and I will catch you live in the morning from Cleveland, Ohio. We've got a good show for you tomorrow. Our friend Chris Stepien is going to be joining us tomorrow on the program, so you want to make it a point to check that out. We've got lots of other good things planned for you. And again, I want to thank you for listening to Spirit of the Morning. Thank you for making us a part of your daily routine. That means a lot to us, and we're really, really grateful that you're able to do that. So, again, thanks to Ann Costa. Thanks to also to Tony Agnese for joining us to talk about this, these very real issues. I mean, so important to remember what to do when our children have left the faith. And again, Ann talks about the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's more than just a picture. It is a very important devotion. And remember that Jesus has a human heart. He really can feel things. I think so many times we forget that. And that's what this devotion to the Sacred Heart helps us to remember, that Jesus can really feel pain. He really can be delighted by the things we do as well. Keep that in mind. Anyway, I'm going to turn it over to our break right now. When we come back, Frank Eliason will take the show out. I'm Gary Zimak. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
This is why we're staying. Love is what we come here for. The kind that won't be paid.
When going about your daily life becomes difficult, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433.
Angel Army provides compassionate home care services. Angel Army can assist you with your personal care, make your bed, do your laundry, and perform light housekeeping. We can accompany you to various appointments, shopping, or just keep you company.
Angel Army is an equal opportunity company and can be reached at 215-805-8433 or visit angelarmycare.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 5:43, Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." The Jews had a very real disdain for pagan foreigners, insomuch as they saw them as a threat to the purity of their race and their religion. But as the Messiah, Jesus came not only for the chosen people, but for the whole world as well. He was the first to teach not tolerance, but genuine love for everyone. Neighbor meant that everyone is a member of one's tribe, including tax collectors and pagans. For him, one must love everyone enough to speak the truth to him, as he did, even to relatives and the people one works with. The more we love them, the less uncomfortable we will be with them. How do you like them apples? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
more enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit,
spirit,
spirit in the morning with Gary Simak.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains. When confusion's my companion and
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That's Shoulders by King and Country. For King and Country, Shoulders. So I'm Frank Eliason. Gary is on his way to the airport. And I want to take a few moments to kind of chat about what we have at the station and a few other things. But before we get into that, let's talk about the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. First, these verses can be read each day in Gary's book, Stop Worrying, Start Living. This is his sixth book, and so, it's one of those things. There's a lot of books out there that can help you, and Gary's done many of them. Can anyone hide in secret without me seeing them? Oracle of the Lord, do I not fill heaven and earth? This is Jeremiah 23:24. And, take in all of these Bible verses. They're a way of helping us in understanding how we need to approach life. And, it's so important to, understand what God wants from us. And so, one of the best people I know in that spirit is Gary Zimak. So I want to take a few moments, and, we kind of kid around oftentimes on Spirit in the Morning, and we joke about all the, with each other, and we tease each other a bit. But I work with some of the most inspirational people around, and I would never tell Gary this to his face because, it doesn't go with our relationship. But he's not here right now, so I could do this. Gary is one of the most humble people I know, and he is really about helping people. He has changed his life around to do exactly that. This is, instead of being out in the secular world trying to make a living that way, he is trying to get the word of God out. And he does this each and every day, whether it's traveling to places like Cleveland or being here at the station at 6 a.m. Gary puts a lot of effort into this show, and it's extraordinarily appreciated. He actually works very tirelessly to get the guests for the show. He books every one of those guests that we have, and you figure it's 2 guests per day, and so 10 per week. Lots of interviews that he puts together and actually reads up and makes sure he has the right questions and to set them up for success. So, I want to say right now, thank you, Gary, for all you do, not just for Holy Spirit Radio, but also for the faith and driving people to understand Jesus and his role in their life. So, Godspeed to you on your travels. Dave Parker, Dave is here. He's one of the greatest evangelicals that around. He is always out preaching God and God's mercy message. He is talking about Holy Spirit Radio and attracting new listeners. I can't tell you how important he is to the station and all the efforts that he does. He's an inspiration. I can only, hope to live up to these two gentlemen. But even beyond that, when you look across all the different shows that we have on Holy Spirit Radio, they are all dedicated to various things. I'm going to spend the afternoon today with Mark Haup. Mark started a Kingsmen. He had a vision and what to do. And not only did he pursue that vision, he did so, without, the hope of accolades or any of those other things. It was actually to, deliver the word of God. And then we go through, we have, Barbara Schinkel, who is on, does Coatesville Connection. She does Connected in the Spirit, Walking in Faith. She is dedicated and has done so much within, the spectrum of the Archdiocese. She used to write for the Standard and Time. She participates in a number of parishes. These people dedicate their lives to Jesus and spreading the good message. Deacon Rich Napoli is one of the most inspirational individuals I've ever met. He started as an atheist, and now today he is a deacon. I'm so humbled to be around these different type of people and what they bring, not only for Holy Spirit Radio, but for faith and, in helping people in understanding their faith and living it. I'm getting choked up from all this. It's great. Monsignor O'Donnell he's just a loving, caring person who teaches the faith, but does so in a way that's not talking at you. He's with you. He's in your spirit, and he gets to show you and drag out from you what you're already doing in faith and the right things that you're doing. you know, it's so inspirational. And then Janet Napoli, Word of God. Janet is, you know, a lot of people don't know all the things that go on in her life. We've had a privilege of having her part of our life, and she's touching in everything we do. So I want to thank them. I want to thank them for everything they do for our faith. I want to thank them for everything they do for Holy Spirit Radio. But most importantly, I want to thank them for what they do for me personally. So I want to thank all our listeners, you know, for being part of this station. We love everything that you do and what you mean to us. And we want your feedback. So always keep letting us know what you think and things you would like to see us do. Thank you for being part of our day. God bless all of you.